sees the battle. You see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible with you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Amen, and good morning, GBF. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Did you guys enjoy Greg last week? From UMHB? He's a great guy. Him and Gary are brothers. You've probably figured that out. Brandenburg. Both of those guys are just awesome friends in the Lord, and it's always a blessing to have them fill in for me when I'm gone. And so I want to welcome each of you here today, especially if you're a guest with us today. There's a place in the bulletin that says, "Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship." If you'll fill that out, tear it off, and then put it in the little wood offering box by the double doors you came in, that lets us know who was here worshiping the Lord with us today. All right, speaking of, are you ready to worship the Lord today? Amen. We're going to take the Lord's Supper at the end of the service, and that's always a special time as well. And then I'm going to be leading GBF 101 tonight. So if you've ever been curious about church membership, you want to know who we are, you want to know what we believe and why we believe it, you want to know what we do and why we do it, those type of things, I teach that. I'm teaching it tonight in here in the kitchen area, GBF 101. And you can sign up for it back there on the welcome table at that back table by the big windows back there before you leave today if you want to be part of that. All right, how many of you got rain? Yeah, all night long at my house. It was wild. And so I think I got a lot more rain than I got sleep, to be honest with you, but it was a huge blessing. So I'm going to ask you to do something. This is not new to you if you've been here for a while. I want you to do something today. I want you to focus on something. The entire service, focus on making this all about Jesus Christ. Focus on making this service, whether we're singing, don't just sing songs you've been singing forever without really thinking what you're singing, right? That's not worship. Worship is when it's coming from your heart, amen? So everything we do, when we're reading the Word, when we're studying the Word, when we're singing, everything we do, let's make it about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today, amen? And I promise you, if you do that, instead of making it about you, you'll be blessed more than you could ever dream or imagine, okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for this day and we thank you for the opportunity to be here and serve you, to serve your kingdom. We thank you for the guests that are with us today. We thank you for the amazing rain that we had last night. That was such a blessing, and we thank you for the rain that looks like it might be coming this week. And so, Father, today we want to turn our attention to worshiping you in spirit and in truth. The last thing I want to do is come here and play church. I want to worship you. I want to hear from you. I want you to change my heart today and make it more like your Son and our Lord, Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for this precious time that we have together this morning as church family, and for the incredible privilege of worshiping you and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray these things this morning. Amen.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. That the highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Free at last, He has ransomed me, His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who You say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who You say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who You say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who You say I am. Oh, I am who You say I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Out of the wilderness, into Your deliverance, look where I'm standing now. These hands that once were chained, now lifted high in praise. Look where I'm standing now. Look where I'm standing now. I stand on the chain breaking, miracle making, powerful name of Jesus. On the body raised, prodigal saved, powerful name of Jesus. by your mighty hand into the promised land. Look where I'm standing now. You carried the cross for me. Now I am a child of the King. Look where I'm standing now. Look where I'm standing now. I stand on the chain-breaking, miracle-making, powerful name of Jesus. On the body-raising, prodigal-saving, powerful name of Jesus. Hallelujah for me. Hallelujah for me. Jesus, my Savior, rescued me. Hallelujah for me. Hallelujah for me. Jesus, my Savior, rescued me. Hallelujah for me. Hallelujah for me. Jesus, my Savior, rescued me. Hallelujah for me. Hallelujah for me. Jesus, my Savior, rescued me. Hallelujah for me. I stand on the chain breaking, miracle making, powerful name of Jesus. On the body raising, prodigal saving, powerful name of Jesus. I stand on the chain breaking, miracle making, powerful name of Jesus. On the body raising, prodigal saving, powerful name of Jesus. Hallelujah, I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm free. Jesus, my Savior, rescued me. Hallelujah, I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm free. Jesus, my Savior, rescued me. Hallelujah, I'm free. Hallelujah for me.
Father, we thank you so much for the rain that you've brought us. We thank you for just all that we see you doing in and amongst us at this church. Father, we thank you for allowing us to come here freely today and to worship you. And I thank you that we have the privilege of laying our burdens at your feet. Whatever's making us anxious, whatever's causing us worry, whatever distracts us, Father, I pray that you would help us to lay those things at your feet now so that we have open hearts and open ears for your word today. Father, give us maturity, give us discernment, give us wisdom as we dive into your word. Don't let it be something that just crosses off our list for this week, but something that we can take with us, apply in our lives, and share with others, Father. Help us to walk in these truths. And God, we thank you for this time, and I pray that this time is a blessing to you as much as it is to us. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt and Jackie. We're going to be looking in Luke chapter 22, if you want to turn there in your Bibles this morning. And we're going to talk about the significance of the Lord's Supper. We're going to talk all about it, what it means, why we do it, all those things before we participated at the end of the service. So, once again, Luke chapter 22. And if I remember right, I put actually verses 1 through 20 in your notes, because that's where we're going to start. We're going to start at verse 1. So the Bible says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread." And this was the 7-day celebration that followed the Passover. And this celebration required the removal of all leaven or all yeast from the household. It all had to be gone, and it symbolized the removal of sin from the household. And so Luke says, now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover. And so for 7 days following the Passover, the Israelites were to look inward at their own hearts, and they were to repent of all sin. And that's why the unleavened bread was important. The unleavened bread actually also symbolized the haste with which they had to get out of Egypt. They couldn't, there was no time for the bread to rise, right, when they were getting out of Egypt. And so, but it's this feast was this week-long feast, and it started with the Passover meal, and it was a week-long feast where all the Israelites were called to look inward at their own hearts and to repent of all sin, to get it out of their lives and to recommit themselves to living for the Lord God, okay? All right, so Luke says, now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and scribes were seeking how they might put Jesus to death, for they were afraid of the people. In other words, they didn't want to just put him to death in front of all these people because there could be a riot, okay? So they're looking how they can pull this off. And the Bible says that Satan entered Judas, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of 12. Meaning Christ's inner circle of his closest followers. Verse 4, and he went away and he discussed with the chief priests and the officers how he might betray Jesus to them. They were glad and they agreed to give him money, so he consented. He consented and began seeking a good opportunity to betray Jesus to them apart from the crowd, away from the crowd. Then came the first day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us so that we may eat it. And they said to him, well, where do you want us to prepare it, Lord? And he said to them, when you've entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters. And you shall say to the owner of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large furnished upper room. Prepare it there. And they, being Peter and John, left. And the Bible says they found everything just as Jesus had told them. And they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus reclined at the table with his apostles, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never eat of it again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. And so Peter and John found the upper room that Jesus had told them about, and they arranged for the Passover meal. They prepared. And then in the middle of the day, on the 14th of Nisan, which is also called the Day of Preparation, that was the day that all work would cease and each family would take their lamb, their chosen lamb, to the temple to be sacrificed. Then the family representative would kill the lamb in the temple court to consecrate it. In other words, to make it sacred so it could serve as the family's substitute for the family's sin. And the lamb's blood would be drained into a basin held by the priest, who would then splash the blood of the lamb onto the base of the altar for the atonement of sin. Next, the kidneys and the liver were burned on the altar as a peace offering, signifying now relationship between God and the representative's family. After the sacrifice, The lamb then was taken home to be cooked for the Passover meal, and the family representative would then smear some of the blood over the doorpost and the lintel, meaning the framework above the door of the house. And when Jesus and the apostles arrived at the house that had been prepared for them, Jesus took his place at the table and he lit the lamp. He lit the lamp because that signified to everyone that all the work for the day was finished and the celebration was beginning. And on this occasion, Jesus prayed, and he made two huge announcements that changed everything for the disciples. And we're going to look at those today. Look back at verses 14 through 18. When the hour had come, Jesus reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, meaning before I'm betrayed, arrested, tried, and crucified. Verse 16, announcement number one. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, take this cup and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, announcement number two, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And in these two announcements from Christ, there was a sense in which something old was coming to an end and something new was about to begin. And then in these announcements, Jesus tells his disciples that he will not partake of the meal again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. You see, every time they celebrated the Passover meal, they were remembering God's faithfulness to them by delivering them from the bondage to Pharaoh during the Exodus. But now something has switched. Now in verse 19, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Instead of taking the Passover meal in remembrance of the Exodus, Jesus now tells them to observe it in remembrance of him. Which leads us to point number one this morning. Jesus was establishing a new meal we call the Lord's Supper, showing that his sacrifice on the cross would be God's final act once and for all of deliverance and salvation. Jesus was establishing a new meal, the Lord's Supper, showing that his sacrifice on the cross would now be God's final act of deliverance and salvation. And so the cross would be God's final act of salvation for mankind. And now his people would celebrate their deliverance from the bondage of sin and death. And every time God's people celebrate the Lord's Supper together with the church, they are remembering the ultimate sacrifice of the true Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, who was slain, the Bible says, once for all, for the eternal redemption of the world. John 3:16 and Hebrews 9:12. So you see, the exodus from Egypt was to be remembered as the defining act of deliverance for God's people, the Jews, under the old covenant. But now we remember the greater sacrifice of the true Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, who ushered in the new covenant in his blood, the Bible says, verse 20, in 1 Corinthians 5:7. For God's church, the new covenant was the deliverance from sin and death, which is received by grace, through faith, by grace alone, remember our phrase that we've memorized, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Amen? The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8 through 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and it is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not a result of your works, so that no one may boast. Amen? The only thing you and I have to boast about is Jesus Christ. Amen? Wouldn't that be nice if we actually did that? I mean, think about the witness we would have if we quit boasting about ourselves and just boasted about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It'd be a game changer, wouldn't it? Think of what it would do for our relationships if we quit boasting about ourselves and just boasted about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It'd be wild. It'd be amazing what would happen. The Bible also says in Romans 11:6, for if it is by grace, it's no longer on the basis of works. Listen to this. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. You see, once you add your works to grace, you just canceled out grace. You can't add your works to the grace of God. You're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And it doesn't take a very in-depth reading of the Bible to realize the in Christ alone part. Okay? All right. Point number two. Number one, Jesus was establishing a new meal, the Lord's Supper, that literally we are told to participate in until he comes back. Amen? Until the kingdom of God comes. So he's establishing a new meal, the Lord's Supper, showing that his sacrifice on the cross would be the final act of deliverance and salvation. And then number two, Jesus would become the once for all sacrificial Lamb of God, and therefore would not partake of the meal again until it's celebrated with his church in the kingdom of God. Look back at verse 16. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Now look at verse 19. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you, on the cross, sacrificed for you. This is my body, which is given for you. And do this, he says, partake in this supper in remembrance of me. And in the same way, verse 20, he took the cup after he had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, I'm going to become the once for all sacrificial lamb. No more taking lambs to the temple. No more picking out your best lamb. I am the best lamb. I came here, I lived a sinless life, and that makes me the spotless Lamb of God. That makes me the best possible sacrifice that you could ever have. And not only am I the best sacrifice you could ever hope for, I do it once and for all. I am the once and for all sacrificial lamb that will bring eternal life to all, even me. Again, John 3:16, Hebrews 9:12. Now, normally under the old covenant, the head of the house would have presented the unleavened bread and referred to it as the bread of affliction. But this time, Jesus told his disciples, this is my body. This is my body, which is given for you, and so do this, partake of this supper in remembrance of me. Put another way, the bread would signify his body, spiritually speaking, which would be broken and sacrificed on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, verse 19. And this meal, the Lord's Supper, was to continue until Jesus returned to establish the kingdom of God. In other words, as Christians, it means Christ follower, right? As Christians or Christ followers, we are to share this meal together, continually remembering Christ's sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And the Bible refers to Christ actually as our Passover lamb. 1 Corinthians 5:7, Revelation 5:12. Then Jesus presented the cup and gave what was traditionally referred to as the cup of blessing new significance. And during this time in Israel's history, God would seal a covenant with the blood of a sacrifice. But on this occasion, Jesus says the wine represents the new covenant in my blood that will be poured out on the cross. Verse 20. And so Jesus was letting his disciples know that he was about to, listen to this, he was about to stand in as the final, the once for all Passover lamb. And this time it would be his blood that would be poured out for the sins of the world. Once and for all, the Bible says. And the cup of wine represented this sacrifice. Point number three. Number one, Jesus was establishing a new meal, the Lord's Supper, showing that his sacrifice on the cross would be the final act of deliverance and salvation once and for all by God. Number two, Jesus would become the once and for all sacrificial Lamb of God, and therefore would not partake of the meal again until he celebrates it with his church in the kingdom of God. Number three, Jesus Christ takes away God's condemnation of anyone who is protected by his blood. Amen? Romans 8:1, right? Jesus Christ takes away God's condemnation for anyone who is protected by his blood. Put another way, the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ protects the true believer from God's condemnation. Romans 8:1. The believer's sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb, and the Bible says that their garments are now as white as snow. Revelation 7:14. Look at Isaiah 1:18 in your notes. There's about four verses of scripture I want to read to you real quick. Read along with me. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Romans 8:1-3. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, meaning due to our sinful nature, God did. He did it by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man and as an offering for sin, and he condemned sin in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him, speaking of his Son Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. 1 Peter 2:24, and he himself, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. So just as the blood of the Lamb that was sacrificed offered protection from the plague of the firstborn during the Exodus, the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, offers protection from the wrath of God for everyone who trusts in Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sins. Now this morning, as Christ Church, we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper together, commemorating this once and for all sacrifice that brought us forgiveness for our sins and brought us eternal life. So men, if you'll begin passing out the bread and the cup, and while they're doing that, listen to me what I'm reading to you, because I'm going to say some really important things right now. We're going to take of the bread and the cup, which symbolizes our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he made. And sometimes people will ask me, well, Pastor, do I have to be a member of GBF to participate in the Lord's Supper? And the answer is no. But you do need to be a born-again member of God's family. You don't have to be a member of GBF, but you do need to be a born-again member of God's family. You do need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, having believed in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Others will ask, Pastor, is it okay for my child to partake in the Lord's Supper? And the answer is yes, if you are sure they have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Otherwise, parents, use this time as a teaching opportunity for your children, because the Bible makes it clear, and I'm going to read it. You're going to hear it in a minute in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. There is a real danger of participating in the Lord's Supper flippantly and not understanding what you're doing. And I'm going to read that to you here in a minute. In fact, both of my boys came to Christ because I told them in a church service, no, you're not ready to participate in the Lord's Supper. Jake first, and boy, I tell you what, he wore Andrea and I out for 2 weeks. But it was a God-given opportunity for us to help him understand the gospel. And then Ryan did the exact same thing and provided us a God, his mother and I, their mother and I, a God-given opportunity to present the whole gospel to them and let them completely I won't say completely, because I don't completely. I'm not there yet, but you know what I mean. As well as they could understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And so, just be careful. Make sure your children, you know that they're saved before you let them participate, because this is a holy time between us and the Lord. It's a time that we check our hearts, just like the Israelites did. It's a time we go to God and say, God, what is going on in my life that's keeping me from being fully sold out to you? God, what actions in my life are sinful and not honoring to you? God, what relationships in my life do not honor you? God, what attitudes in my life are not honoring to you? So take a moment in this time and ask the Lord if there's anything keeping you from fully surrendering to him. That's what was required of the Israelites when they made the sacrifice, to repent. Repent means you turn away from the sin that God shows you and you turn back to him, and you commit yourself once again to live for God. It doesn't make you saved. You're saved because of what Jesus did on the cross. But you and I, if we're Christ followers, are called to follow him. Amen? And follow his word and follow the life that he lived. Okay? So ask him in this sacred moment to help you seek him and his righteousness first and foremost in your life. And ask the Lord to show you what's keeping you from making him the number one priority in your life. Folks, y'all go ahead and pass those out, please, if you will. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 11 to you, and I'm going to ask you, thank you, sir. There's going to be a lot going on around you, but I'm going to ask you to listen closely to the Word of God, okay? For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, here it is, don't miss it. Whoever eats the bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. A man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason many of you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. On the other hand, the Bible says this. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth so that he may strongly support anyone whose heart is completely his. So ask him in the quietness of this moment, is there anything, any relationship, any any attitude, Lord, that's pulling me away from you, and then repent. Will you join me this morning as we give thanks to the Lord for the sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross that takes away the sin of the world? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was broken on the cross for our sins so that we might be forgiven once and for all and receive eternal life by placing our faith in him as our substitute. The Bible says in verse 19, Luke 22:19, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Please eat the bread. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the same way, we thank you for the blood of your only Son and our only Savior, Jesus Christ, that was poured out on the cross for our salvation in the new covenant of grace. The Bible says in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Drink the cup. Join me in prayer this morning. You may be here this morning, or you may be watching online this morning, and you would like to believe God's truth about your sin and how it separates you from God. And maybe today God has shown you your need to be saved. The Bible says that God himself came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to live a perfect life and die in your place for the payment of your sins. And so maybe today you'd like to quit trying to be good enough to earn your way to heaven and just accept God's free gift of grace, of eternal life, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the forgiveness of your sins. If so, you might want to repeat this prayer after me, and really important you understand these are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you mean it in your heart. You can say it in a completely different way than I do, but what matters is that you mean it in your heart. God does not look at the outward appearance like man does. He looks at the heart. Lord Jesus, I realize that you are God in the flesh, the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And today I want to trust in you, in your sacrifice on the cross, and your resurrection from the dead for my salvation. I confess to you that I'm a sinner, and I'm in need of your mercy and your forgiveness. So today, I'm asking for just that, your mercy and your forgiveness, your power to turn from my sins, and your grace to submit to your authority for my life. Forgive me for playing God and trying to run my own life my own way. Forgive me for rejecting you all this time. Forgive me for buying into Satan's lie that I'm missing out if I follow you. I am ready for the abundant life that only my good shepherd can provide. I'm ready for you, Lord Jesus, to be the Lord, the leader of my life, and the Savior of my life. And I'm ready to start living for you and allowing your home, your word, to make its home in me. I thank you today for loving me enough to die for me, save me from my sins, and make me a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, the Bible says, sometimes people will say to me, "Chris, I prayed that prayer, but I don't feel any different." The last thing you want to do is be led by your feelings, right? That's not a good thing. If you're constantly led by emotion and feelings, that's not a good thing. I suggest you be led by God's truth, which says regardless of how you feel, if you said that prayer and you meant it in your heart, now you're a child of God. Now you belong to Jesus Christ and His Heavenly Father. And you will have eternal life in the kingdom of God one day, not because of your good works, but because you believed in God's only Son and God's only Savior, Jesus Christ. Matt, you lead us in our closing song. I'm going to be at the front. If you would like me to pray with you or for you, I'd be happy to do so as Matt leads us.
Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow, me a sinner, double cure, save from wrath and make me of my hands can fulfill thy lost demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Amen. You guys be seated for a moment. I want to share a couple of things with you real quick. It's on the events calendar page in the bulletin. Just some big things coming up. GBF 101, if you want to sign up for that, you can do that back there at that table. And then there's a preteen counselor camp counselor meeting coming up. Easter in the park every year, right? Easter in the park. If you're signed up for Breeze, Matt's going to talk about that in a minute, but if you're signed up for Breeze, we can text you like that and say, we're going to have to meet in here. We've only had to do that 1 year. I think 1 year we even met in the snow, man. It snowed on Easter 1 year, but we do it in the park every year. It's awesome. It's a great thing. Invite everybody and their grandmother, because a lot of people will go to church on Easter when they won't go the rest of the year. So invite everybody you can think about. Start praying right now and say, Lord Jesus, who do you want me to take to that Easter service? It's a great deal. There's all kinds of stuff. Alyssa and Andrea are planning all kinds of cool stuff. If you've been there, you've seen it before, for the children as well. VBS, be sure and get those dates, July 8th through 11th on your calendar. And Easter, if you don't know, is April 20th. And then August 1st through 3rd. Check this out. I want to tell you something real quick. I've got two sons that are married. And I told both boys, if you'll go see this mentor of mine, he's a retired pastor now in Memphis, I'll pay the whole way. I'll pay for the food. I'll pay for the hotels. I'll pay for everything you do up there and back if you'll go see this dude for premarital counseling. Jake and Ryan, twice now, without dad asking, have come to me, and both of them basically in the same way have said this: Dad, that premarital counseling with Larry and Sherry Ray made our first year of marriage the greatest it could possibly be. And they came to me, both of them, twice now have said that to me, without me saying a word. And so I'm bringing Larry and Sherry Ray here August 1st through 3rd. And they are going to share with you, us, the things they shared with Ryan and Jake plus more. I know very few people on the planet that walks with God more than this couple. They're amazing. And they're going to be with us August 1st. Through the 3rd. So make plans to be part of that. We'll get more details to you as when we get it all scheduled out, how we're going to do that. But it's going to be a great time. All right, I love you guys. Thanks for being here and worshiping the Lord with us this morning. Let's stand, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Oh, wait. Go ahead. Sit down one more minute.
Okay. So as you know, we had fishing, whatever they call it, but we had an email scam go out this last week using Pastor Chris's name. Just to put some of your minds at ease, passwords have been changed on email accounts, Breeze, things like that, but if you're nervous about it, one good thing is to just go ahead and refresh your password to change that up. We don't know what specifically was attacked, so we're just covering all the bases, changing passwords to as much as we can. But this is something, if you're in education, we get trained in this all the time. So it's, you know, we get to where we're trained to spot them, things like that. But just know, Pastor Chris, no one on staff here is ever going to ask you for anything via email that we haven't already come to you face to face and talk to you about. But one really good tip, number one, don't click on anything in an email that if you don't know who it's from. But even like going forward over the next few weeks at least, even when you're getting an email that you think is legitimately from us, go ahead and hover over or click on that email that it's coming from, because that will show you whether it's the true email of the person you're looking for. And if I'll talk to Chris about this, but we may send out exactly what our emails are so you know what ours are versus, you know, a letter added somewhere here or there, a little asterisk added can make a big difference, but they're fake emails that are being used. So just go ahead and verify the email, whether it's my weekly email you get or something from Pastor Chris. Make sure it's actually coming from who you think it is before you click on anything in that email.
Okay. They made up an email. So when you hover over it, it said c.irvin@gbfheiko. So it was good. And some of our people got sucked into that. So listen, I'm never gonna email you and ask you to help me pay my taxes. I'm never, never gonna email you and ask you to buy Amazon cards and send them to me. It'll never happen. But this stuff is so good, anybody, if you're not paying attention, anybody could get accidentally lured in. So change your password. From all the people I've talked to so far, they say that's the best thing you can do, and make it one of those long passwords that Google gives you. You know what I mean? And so, but anyway, and here's another thing. And of course, it looked like it was coming from me specifically to these people, but whenever there's a church-wide email from me, it always comes from Matt, because he's got all the addresses. Right? I don't have that information. He does. And so just a couple of things to kind of be aware of. And now you can stand and I'll pray us out of here this morning. I'm very sorry, by the way. I was not happy. I would have loved to know who this dude is so I could get him alone for some prayer and fellowship. Using my name to rip y'all off, I was not happy at all. All right? Lord Jesus, forgive me for my attitude. And we pray that you would shut this deal down. And I pray that the different law enforcement agencies that I've shared this with might be able to figure something out. I know that's it's crazy. So many people are doing this. It's just almost not worth going after unless it's hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. But just protect your people at GBF, because these people targeted loving, gracious, giving people. Boy, I hate that. So protect us and give us wisdom for how we can change things and protect ourselves better as well. In Jesus' name, amen.